The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org.
Good morning. The sermon passages today are from Luke and John. Luke 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." John 1. In him was life, and the light was the light. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 3. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. John 8. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. As I'm sure many of you know, my name is Joshua DeBasquerita. I've already been hyped up by Ryan this morning, which is good. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us and then get started. Father in heaven, I thank you for the way that you speak to us through your word. I thank you for the way that you speak to us through the word, through preaching. Lord, it is a privilege to be able to be here and to be your instrument in proclaiming your word and pulling out the meaning, Lord, of the text and applying it to the hearts of first and foremost myself, who needs the message of your gospel more than anyone. And Lord, secondly, to those who get to hear through the preaching of your word. So Lord, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the blessing it is. And thank you for how much enjoyment that I get from it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Lord. May you cause me to get out of the way, and may you shine this morning as light into the dark hearts of men who are not in relationship with you, and then shine your light into the right hearts of those who already know you. God, thank you for everything this morning. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, as for those of you who don't know, I am a pastoral resident over at Christ Redeemer Church, and it is absolutely my privilege to be here. I wouldn't be here if it had not been for a testimony of the Lord working in and through my life, really ever since I was a kid. Even before I was born, my story, I'm the firstborn in my family, and I came about through through the surrender of my parents through prayer, because they were struggling with infertility, and it wasn't like they just were really struggling. And after surrendering over to the Lord and praying, I came around. So I've known that the Lord has marked my life ever since before I was born. And then coming into, you know, being a kid, growing up in a Christian home, I latched onto the gospel very early. When I was 4 years old, actually, in a vacation Bible school at the end, there was an opportunity to accept the gospel and accept Jesus as my Savior. And I remember that opportunity because I remember a leader in that vacation Bible school, who was my leader in the preschool group, she took the time to take what I was asking her seriously. She took the time to say, or I said, yeah, I really want Jesus to be my Savior. And she took the time to pray with me, to slow down. She intentionally led me in a prayer to the Lord for forgiveness for my sins and inviting him into my heart to be my Savior. And it is really wonderful every time that I get to this time of year when I reflect on that reality, that a leader took intentional time for me when I was just a very small kid and led me to the Lord. And I've had a relationship with the Lord ups and downs since then. I do not know everything. But it was, and I know that that leader absolutely didn't know everything either. But I do know that the fact that they took intentional time is why I stand here today. So whenever I come to the subject of summer celebration camp or vacation Bible school, it's really exciting for me to be able to lead it this year because I get to give kids just like me when I was 4 years old the same opportunity to hear the gospel, to grow in their relationships with the Lord. And it's just an awesome time. So I'm very excited. And so I thought that this morning that I'd share with you a little bit of what we're talking about at Summer Celebration Camp. The theme this year is Stellar, Shine Jesus Light. And the theme means that we will be in space, which is very exciting. I actually grew up a really loving space and space travel. I've got a few Lego sets that prove that. So we'll be Summer Celebration Camp is in space. And as I said, we're giving the opportunity to kids to learn that Jesus is the light of the world and that he's their light in the world of darkness and to be with them, to love them, and to help them love others by showing Jesus' light. So it's really an opportunity, as I said, to share the gospel in ways that kids can understand and grasp and have fun while doing it. So I hope we're going to have a great amount of fun pretending that we're in space. I'm very excited. I've got the mission control outfit already and everything. So I just kind of want our time this morning to be a little, very similar. Might have a little bit of fun. Pique your childlike curiosity. I hope that the Spirit convicts you of your in childlike faith and humility. And I hope that you enjoy hearing the gospel. That's the best news in the whole universe. So we'll be looking at one of the stories that's in the SAC curriculum. That's found in chapter 19 of Luke. And we'll be looking, if that's the story of Zacchaeus, we just had it read for us. And then there's along with other scriptures in John that tell us that Jesus is the light. Now, it wouldn't be very fun this morning if I didn't have 3 points. So I have 3 points. And those are, the first one is lost in the dark. The second one is found by Jesus' light. And the third one is shining Jesus' light. So first of all, lost in the dark. I don't know if you recall when you were a kid, but many of us can probably recall that we used to fear the dark. It's a pretty core childhood fear. We fear the dark, the darkness. It's mysterious. Like, what's in there? It's unpredictable. We don't know what's going to come out, or we don't know what's going to happen when we go in. It's unsafe. There could be dangers lurking about. There could be Legos on the floor waiting to cripple you. There could be chairs or tables to stub your toes on. And for a kid especially, imagination tends to run wild, thinking, well, there could be so many monsters or creepy things that could be scary coming out of the dark. The dark also makes us feel lonely. Like, as a child, you don't know where your people are. You can't see them. It's like if you ever played peekaboo with a child, you know, you cover your face and all of a sudden you don't exist. When there's darkness, you can't see your people, then you're lonely. And then they can't see me. They can't see me to come and find me. It's one of those core fears in darkness. Loneliness, it's unpredictable, it's mysterious. And bringing it to the Bible this morning, to the story of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was absolutely a man lost in the dark. If we look at chapter 19 of Luke, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich." So in verse 1, we say, "He entered Jericho." This is talking about Jesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And then enter a man named Zacchaeus. It says he was a chief tax collector and was rich. This is like Zacchaeus being the chief executive officer or CEO of all the tax collectors in that region. And Jericho was already a very wealthy city in that region. So this man was very wealthy. He's like the top CEOs of our nation, like Elon Musk, you know? Back today, I'm sure Zacchaeus would run his own space program if he was able. And right before this passage, we actually see someone very, very similar, the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler comes up to Jesus, and he asks him what I might do to inherit eternal life. And then Jesus tells him that he must give up all of his riches in order to follow him. And the man walks away sad. And afterwards, the disciples are confused, and they're like, "Wait, why? You told exactly what he needed to do. Why did he run away?" And in verse 24 of chapter 18, we see Jesus say, seeing that he had become sad, Jesus said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Very similar situation with Zacchaeus. A rich man, a young ruler, a person in charge of other people. And we just learned that it's very difficult for a wealthy man to enter the kingdom of God. Now his disciples wonder, well then who can enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus says it's not by the power of man, but by the power of God that this happens. So when we come to Zacchaeus' situation, it's pretty bleak. For him, wealth is part of the darkness that keeps him from coming to Jesus. Wealth is part of the darkness that keeps people from coming to Jesus in general. When it comes to tax collectors in that first century, they are notorious for making people pay more than they need and skimming off the top, taking the extra for themselves. That's stealing. If you have everything that you need, if you're wealthy, like a man like Zacchaeus, you're probably not looking for anything that you need. You're really only ever looking for something you want because you have everything that you need. Everything that you're seeking is now luxury. And when it comes to money, a lot of wealth is never enough. Money will always make you want more and more. It's a bottomless pit of seeking and seeking, getting more, and it's really seeking what's killing you and keeping you from the truth. Wealth is a darkness that keeps people from coming to Jesus. But now in verse 3 of chapter 19, we see that he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. The crowd casts a shadow of darkness that keeps Zacchaeus from coming to Jesus because he's small. And a crowd casts a shadow on people, and that's what keeps people from coming to Jesus. In verse 7, another way people keep Zacchaeus from coming to Jesus, it says, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone into the guest to be the guest of a man who was a sinner.' Jesus said, 'I'm coming to your house.'" And the crowd was like, "That's a sinner." They're throwing shame in Zacchaeus' direction. The crowd casts shadows to keep people from coming to Jesus. Now Zacchaeus, he was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He couldn't see Jesus. The crowd was in the way. Now, when the crowd calls him a sinner, Zacchaeus in that context was considered the most dirty, rotten, cheating, stealing traitor that you could possibly be. No one liked him. Tax collectors themselves already disliked. And that's still kind of true today. No one likes to pay taxes. And then tax collectors who are Jews are also considered traitors in that day. If you're a tax collector, you're basically collecting for the enemy in that day because the Romans were oppressing the Jewish people. So if you were a tax collector in that day, you were working for the enemy. And if you were a Jewish tax collector, it was even worse because you were considered a traitor. Why would you go and serve the enemy? That doesn't make any sense. It's a little different today. Tax collectors are not evil. But back then, Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was in charge. He was the chief of tax collectors, working with them favorably, working with them daily. The people of Jericho would have hated Zacchaeus. He is more than likely lonely, and no one wanted him, and everyone considered him the worst trash of human being possible, stealing from people, the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. How dare you hang out with that guy? No one wants to be with you. Darkness makes you feel lonely. Is that any of you sometimes? Do you feel shame from others around you? Shame cast on you as a shadow from other people. You're not wanted. You're not loved. Are you in darkness like Zacchaeus because of other people's shadows? So we have wealth, other people's shadows. These are things that are darkness that keep people from coming to Jesus. And then the third one is sin. Sin is a darkness that keeps people from coming to Jesus. You see, we create our own darkness often. It's not just from the shadows of other people. Although it often happens when shame comes on us, that it makes us feel less than, and we figure, why not just live in sin anyway? But originally, the darkness that comes on us is sin. It says in John chapter 3, and this is the judgment, and the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. He sees that Zacchaeus and many of us are in darkness because of his own doing or our own doing. For Zacchaeus, it was his own doing that he cheated and he stole money from people, making them not like him, cast shadows on him. He stole money from people, and if you read verse 8 of chapter 19, he says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." He's very aware that if he's defrauded anyone of anything, he'd restore it. He's very aware that he's a sinner. He's very aware that he's stealing from people. It implies that he knew that he was guilty of stealing. He was in darkness because of sin. Now, sin means anything that is displeasing or dishonoring to God. For instance, stealing. It's very clear in the Ten Commandments. Do not steal. It's lying. It's cheating, it's murder, it's hating, it's lusting, it's sex outside of heterosexual marriage, it's fear can sometimes be a sin, boasting can be sin, cutting words and more. I'm riddled with it. One of my wife's students this past year said, "No, you are a sinner. You make sin every day." And it kind of sticks with me. It's like, I make sin every day. It's a very childish way of saying it, but it's true. I'm riddled with sin every single day. No matter how right or wrong or bad or good that I feel about sin, it doesn't make it any less sin. No matter right or wrong, or how bad or good that you feel about your own sin, all people have sinned. Every single person is inherently sinful and have fallen short of God's perfect glory. Even if you've only lied once in your life, you're a sinner. God has a perfect standard. We're all left in darkness, unable to see God, lonely, afraid, unsafe, in the dark. It's really no wonder at all that children, and still many adults, fear the dark. Wealth that seems pretty attractive and fulfilling leads you to the dark. People, even close friends and family, can turn on a dime and leave you in the dark. Sin, our wrongdoing, and inward desire to fulfill ourselves by whatever means necessary, leads us hopelessly lost in the dark. So why do we read in verse 2 that there is a man named Zacchaeus? He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was looking for Jesus. This man lost in the dark. What has Jesus any hope of looking for Jesus if he's lost in the dark? What hope does Zacchaeus have that causes him to search for Jesus? It's because he's been found by Jesus' light. He's been found by Jesus' light. That's point two. If we read verses 3 and 4, it's very clear that he was not just seeking to see who Jesus was. He was desperately searching. He was small in stature, so he couldn't see because of the crowd. And we read in verse 4, he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Zacchaeus just did two things that are considered wrong and or shameful in that day. First of all, running. And second of all, climbing a tree. Back then, they wore long tunics that went down all the way pretty much to your ankles or to the floor. And they wore these, and there's very little under your tunic. And so when you ran, in order to run, you'd have to pick up your tunic and expose to the light what no one really ever wants to see, like your knees. If you're up a tree, however, people can pretty much see straight up your tunic. So if you're climbing a tree, you are doing a shameful thing in that culture. This is not something that you do if you care about what other people think of you, or you care about the shadows that other people are casting on you. It's not something you would do. So what gave Zacchaeus the motivation to get out of the crowd's shadows that they're casting on him? And that was the opportunity to see Jesus. You see, Jesus already had a reputation. Luke has been building Jesus' reputation this whole time as a miracle worker. But most recently, he's brought out the emphasis of Jesus having the reputation of seeking out the lost, seeking out the broken, the sick, healing them, having compassion for them, teaching them about the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus, lost in the dark, knew that if there was any hope at all that he could still be part of God's people, with God's protection and God's provision always beside him, then Jesus could give it. Zacchaeus went to find Jesus that day to see if Jesus would accept even him, the lowliest of sinners, the worst of friends, and the richest of tax collectors. Verse 5. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus surrounded by crowds of people trying to get to him, surrounded by plenty of people that could seem way more qualified than Zacchaeus, looks up at Zacchaeus, and he says, "I've chosen you. I want to be with you." And then in verse 9 and 10, later, after Zacchaeus repents, Jesus said to him, "Today has come to this house, since today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and says, "You are my people. You are saved." Jesus pursues the man who knows that he is the chief of sinners. Jesus looks at the darkness covering Zacchaeus and he shines his light of love right through it. Jesus sees the darkness surrounding the people that he loves, and he sees the riches that can take you away from him. He sees the crowds of people who hate you or turn on you. He sees your sin and has every reason to turn away and leave you in darkness. But instead, he shines his light into your darkness. Just look at John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus' light is shining, and we see that in this story, Jesus is passing through Jericho. And as he's passing through Jericho, he makes intentional effort to seek out Zacchaeus. He takes time to see past any of the shame that anyone else would put on him. He takes time to see past his own sin. He takes time to see past Zacchaeus' sin. He takes time to look at Zacchaeus and say, "You're my son. I love you, and I want you to be part of my family." Now Zacchaeus is on his way through Jericho to the city of Jesus is on his way through Jericho to the city of Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, Jesus is going to give himself up for people like Zacchaeus. Jesus is going to Jerusalem so that he can give himself up on the cross to take the penalty for Zacchaeus' sin. He's going to take that penalty, and that penalty of Zacchaeus' sin is death. It's a death sentence for crimes against a holy God. Jesus died in Zacchaeus' place for the chief of sinners. Jesus died to deliver Zacchaeus from sin and death and darkness. And then Jesus rose from the dead to bring Zacchaeus righteousness, life, and light forever. That's what Jesus is on the way to do. And he pauses and says, "Zacchaeus, you're coming with me." Jesus went to the cross for us so that he can give himself up on the cross and take the penalty for our sin. That penalty for sin is death. We have a death sentence for crimes against a holy God. And Jesus died in our place for the chief of sinners like me. He died to deliver us from sin and death and darkness, to shine his light of righteousness by rising from the dead and giving us life and light forever. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really know that you are the chief of sinners? And you do not deserve any of the mercy or grace that God can possibly give you. But he went to the cross anyway for you, died for your penalty, taking on your sin. And now he's risen again, and he gives you life and light, lighting up your way, showing you where to go in order to delight in him for forever. Do you believe that? If you can say, "Yes, I believe that," you can also say, "I was once lost in the dark, and now I am found by Jesus' light. I was lost, and now I'm found." Do you live that? Not just believe it, but do you live it? Do you live out that kind of gospel light? That kind of joyful, amazing deliverance? When Jesus' light shines, we see in John chapter 1, verse 5, the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, when Jesus' light shines, the darkness fades immediately into shadow. That brings me to point number 3, shining Jesus' light. Shining Jesus' light. Zacchaeus' response to Jesus shows that the light has absolutely overcome his life. If we read verse 6, it says, "So he hurried and came down." After Jesus tells him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus hurries and came down, and he receives him joyfully. Zacchaeus saw the eyes of Jesus looking right at him, and he saw the face of love shining light in his darkness, and he knew that all of that immediately melted away. He saw the face of Jesus and knew that his darkness was gone. He didn't care about the crowd and their taunts of sinner. All he wanted was to be with Jesus in his house. And then if we read verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor.'" Zacchaeus didn't care about wealth anymore. He didn't care about things. He didn't care about the things of this world. He knew, "I am seen, I am known, I am brought into the fold, the people of God. Jesus is here for me." And he is now hilariously giving back to Jesus in his kingdom, giving to the poor. It is a mark of a true heart change to hilariously give back to Jesus. Something the rich young ruler, right before this, and the Pharisees, and the rich business people, and the Americans who have it all together, and to whoever thinks that they have everything that you need, it's something that you're unable to experience. It's a heart change. A heart that's changed to love Jesus hilariously because of how hilarious it is that God would ever love a sinner like me. That kind of heart isn't worried about things anymore. And then in the second half of verse 8, he says, "Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Zacchaeus knew that his sin was wiped away. He's following an old law that's found in Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, that when someone steals an ox or a sheep, what's required of him, if that ox or sheep was going to die or suffer any sort of harm, was to restore that ox or sheep fourfold. In other words, give back four more. Zacchaeus doesn't really care that what he's stolen is not a sheep or an ox. He just cares about seeking forgiveness. He cares about seeking restitution because he knows he's been forgiven by Jesus. That kind of repentance is hilarious. It's ridiculous. And it's exactly what the kind of repentance looks like and what the kind of forgiveness looks like, seeking restoration with those who've wronged you and those you've wronged, saying, "I'm sorry. I know the Lord, and I know that he would want me to ask for forgiveness from you." Do you live like that? So hilariously consumed with how much Jesus has done for you that you just can't help but give to others? Do you recognize, like Zacchaeus, that you're the chief, the worst of sinners? You have a debt accrued that's unpayable except by the blood of Jesus slain for you. Do you live like that? If you come to Jesus' light, come to Jesus' light, his forgiveness is for you. We read that in one of our scripture reflections before this. Come to Jesus. His forgiveness is for you. His light is for your life to shine out where you should go. to keep delighting in loving in his freedom. Jesus is for you. So shine Jesus' light. One of my favorite worship songs of the modern era is "All I Have Is Christ" by Sovereign Grace. It says, there's a line in there. It says, "I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised joy in life has led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. All I have is Christ." If you are lost in the dark, come to Jesus' light by putting your faith in him today, right now. Confess your sins. Say, "Lord, I know that I am the chief of sinners. I know I need you. Please come. I invite you into my heart to be my Savior. I want to be a part of your people and follow you, giving hilariously." And if you were lost in the dark, you are now found in Jesus' light. Wealth doesn't matter. Things don't matter. What other people think doesn't matter. Your sin is no longer in your way of getting to Jesus. And so, practically, shine Jesus' light. Shine Jesus' light, first of all, for yourself. Find the darkness that you still allow to shade you from Jesus. Maybe it's what you watch, inappropriate things on TV or YouTube or social media, what you consume. If it's something like that that keeps you from Jesus, if you're entertaining darkness, get rid of it. Maybe it's what you spend your money on, your wealth, your things. Maybe you find yourself a little bit more attached to things than you are to Jesus. If it's something that blocks you from seeing his light, don't buy it. Are you giving? It's very practical, out of joy to your local church and to those who you have need as you are able to do so. If not, shine Jesus' light. That's how you can shine Jesus' light on yourself. There's plenty of other ways I'm sure the Lord and the Holy Spirit can convict you of. And then you can also shine Jesus' light on lost people, because there are lost people everywhere. Work, school, the grocery store, etc. Shine his light. You see, for me, I get the privilege of leading summer celebration camp. And the audience there, that's primarily the audience, is children. Children are born in darkness, afraid of the dark. They are needy, lonely, vulnerable, and sinful. And they're looking for light. Now Jesus has compassion for the small ones, like Zacchaeus. Seeing through the dark, seeing through all of the craziness that kids often are, seeing through maybe some of the misbehaving, seeing through some of the lofty imaginative things that don't seem very realistic, but are also so precious to Jesus and his kingdom. We should be spreading the good reputation of Jesus, that he loves sinners. He loves you and me. He wants us to be with him. And asking children, would you trust Jesus and ask him to be your Savior today, little one? That's what someone said to me 20 years ago. This July, I came to Jesus at that VBS 20 years ago. And today, kids like me are searching for the light. So if you want a super, super practical application for shining Jesus' light, Jesus invites some of the most unlikely people. Invite someone to church this coming Sunday or next week, or invite someone to summer celebration camp. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege it is to shine your light and having your light shone on us, on me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin and for proclaiming your deliverance. Through my life, Lord, may that be so true. God, thank you for the people here. Through their lives, Lord, may you shine your light to the world, and may it be so blinding that darkness flees. The darkness has not overcome it when the light of Jesus is shone. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for today. We love you, and we want you to be our light, our Savior, and I thank you for those of us who have faith in you and who are. Lord, for those who have still considered what it is for you to be their Savior, I pray that they'd invite you into their hearts this morning. Lord, thank you for your word and this time. It's in your name that I ask a blessing on the rest of it. Amen.